And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
My next guest calls himself a brink thinker. He's a radio and TV personality who delivers the ultimate jolt of energy. We'll discuss the dysfunctional state of American politics. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Malcolm Out Loud is a speaker, a motivator, an author, and an influencer, TV and radio personality, a catalyst of ideas and opportunities, and the ultimate jolt of energy, as I said. He considers himself a brink thinker. Malcolm adeptly blends the left brain side of business with his creative right brain thinking. He launched his first business at a very young age and found that his passion in the world is marketing and advertising. Joining us from the great state of Florida. Hi, Malcolm Out Loud. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. How are you, sir?
I am doing terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest. Love what you have to say, and we'll get into that in more detail. But I just want to start with the intro. They call you a brink thinker, and you consider yourself a brink thinker. What exactly is a brink thinker?
That's a good question, Bill. You'll hear a lot more about it across America as I'm penning the book right now.
Good.
You bet. And there's never been a time like now that America needs brink thinking. You know, Bill, I spent over 25 years in corporate boardrooms around the world, okay, working with people, companies, businesses of all sizes. And I've seen some of the brightest people are in the business community, right?
Right.
And some of the most, some of the most unusual people are in politics, let's say.
Okay.
I always say we get our C students in politics and our A students in business, huh?
I'm not sure I completely agree with you, but go on.
How do we reverse that, that situation, you know?
That'd be nice.
And I've talked to a lot of people over the years in the boardroom, and I used to always say, you know what, if we could get a mic in here, man, we could solve half the world's problems, for God's sakes. But, you know, people just don't want to run for politics. It's a dirty business, unfortunately. But after all those years, about the last 4 or 5 years, had really got more into the radio, television, which I absolutely enjoy. It was either that, run for political office, or use the media to get our message out there, right?
Right, and so you've chosen the second.
You better believe it. The politicians, they probably assassinate me. So, at least here I got half a chance, right?
Wow.
They're not ready for the truth, Bill.
Well, now, it is interesting that you've chosen the media path, because you've got some very, very interesting things to say, and that's what brink thinking is going to be all about. And Malcolm, we'll have you back when the book comes out. So talk to me about this. How do we need to change our brink thinking? How can we get to way more practical ideas coming out of Washington, D.C. than we're faced with
today? It really is. You know, government, politics impacts all of us. It impacts everybody, every family, every business, no matter what your life is. You're impacted in some way, shape, or form by government, of course. So we all need to pay attention. Those people who don't vote and are not involved, shame on you, you know?
Well, they're not my listeners. I'll tell you right now, Malcolm, most of my listeners are very active.
Amen.
In the political process.
Amen. Yeah, you got to be involved, man. You got to make something happen. So, you know, Bill, for me, it was, how can we get Washington to listen? Let's take a look at what we're going through right now, Bill, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have what I call, and I refer to, and I've blogged about it, and I've talked about it all over this country, on radio everywhere, is, I think, an American revolution. If you look up revolution, folks, you don't have to have guns to have a revolution. It doesn't require a gun at all.
No.
But what's happened here, if you look at the last two election cycles, you'll see how really fickle Americans have been. Do you agree with that, Bill?
I couldn't agree with you more. We've gone from one extreme to the other.
We've gone from one extreme to the next, man. We're so undecided. We're just looking for an answer somewhere, and we're not finding it from these two political gangs. And by the way, I stopped calling them parties quite a while ago, because there's nothing in a party atmosphere about these two.
Well, there's certainly nothing party or festive about it. That's
exactly
true. But I want to stop you right there, Malcolm. We have more than two political parties in this country. Certainly we have the Democrats, we have the Republicans.
Right.
But boy, making its presence felt is the Tea Party. So I'd say that they're a legitimate third party.
Well, let's talk about that now. They're not a political party, though.
Well, they're not originally set up to be a political party. That is true. They are, in some people consider them a splinter of the Republican Party. But
right.
In reality, they're much closer to libertarians, at least in their genesis.
Well,
they were much closer.
They are and they're not. Let's take, Bill, it's a great subject. We talked about this.
Hmm.
And, you know, some of their views, when it comes to things like abortion and gay marriage and all that, right?
Right.
You know, to me, that stuff needs to stay out of government. I'm sorry.
All right, so you believe that the government should stay out of your bedroom,
stay
basically.
Out of our affairs, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You're Listen, abortion, it's a, I'm sorry, but, you know, yeah, I'm a conservative. But you know what? We have enough problems to solve. Our national government wasn't designed to handle every problem. That wasn't the idea of the institution of the United States of America. Our forefathers, the states came together for national security, our defense, and that's really the core of our country. But yet, we fail to see that bill today.
Well,
we want to solve every problem. Everybody has their hands out from government, right?
You can thank Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson for that.
And they all seem to have, everybody thinks there's an answer that government can somehow help, or there's an endless supply of money. Let's put it this way. America is bankrupt right now. The only thing they haven't done is filed their paperwork with the courthouse bill. But they're bankrupt.
Well, insolvent perhaps, but we'll see about that over long term. Remember,
the definition of bankruptcy, your liabilities and assets. Their liabilities are way overstretched of assets, man.
Well, you're taking one key element out of the equation, Malcolm, and that is the fact that we own the printing press that prints the money. So as long as we can continue to print our own money at the federal level, we will stop ourselves from being insolvent. Now, that may not lead us down. We may go down a very desperate, ugly path, as we almost did these last couple of weeks. But we are not yet insolvent so long as we own the printing press and can produce our own money.
We don't own the printing press because we're paying interest on the money. You know that.
We do, yeah. We are paying interest to the Chinese as the largest foreign holder of our money. The Japanese are the second largest.
And there are other countries as well that are we are indebted to.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, including Canada, Great Britain, and Mexico, too. I mean, we're indebted to all of those countries. But the number one holder, outside of the foreign holders, the number one holder of United States treasuries is the United States. Our own citizens own a lot of our paper, too. So that's a good news, and that's going to help prop us up a little bit as well. Malcolm, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're stunned. You're either stunned by the brilliance or the stupidity of that last comment.
The out loud just means the truth. It doesn't mean we have to be obnoxious. I like to listen, too.
Oh, okay. Good. For a moment there, I thought I actually had you speechless. So there.
No, I agree with you. I'm with you.
Okay. All right, good. So there we are. We're almost insolvent, but the Tea Party is where we started this whole conversation as being the third political party, the third rail, if you will. Okay.
This group of freshmen that were put into office in 2010, Bill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The difference this time around, the reason we had the level of the stalemate in Washington was because this group of politicians would simply not let them off the hook. They followed through with not everything, but part of what their constituents wanted them to do, and it's how they got elected into office to begin with in 2010. We agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So if everybody understands that, how this happened, they held President Obama and Speaker Boehner, which, by the way, I refer to as Bonehead and Oblablah. Okay?
Okay.
And so if you take Bonehead and Oblablah, this is exactly how they held them hostage was because, and of course, as, you know, Vice President Joe Biden, he comes out and says, they're terrorists. Yeah, they're terrorists if it's all about just common sense in America. They wanted a balanced budget amendment, and they wanted to get spending under control. At $14.3 trillion in the hole, and you want another $2.4 trillion, you're nothing better than a drug addict out on the street.
Well, remember, one man's terrorist is another man's hero. It depends on your point of view,
it
I suppose.
Indeed. It is indeed. But, Bill, how much more can this country take? I've said for years now, the biggest challenge to America is our spending and our debt. It's not terrorism, Bill.
Well, I would agree with you. We have to watch the spending. We have to watch the debt. But the other side of that coin, Malcolm, and we're talking, my guest is Malcolm Out Loud. Malcolm, is that really jobs recovery is going to solve a lot of these problems, sweep some things under the rug.
The report was out this morning.
Yeah, 117,000. We were just talking about that with Steve Leisman.
Yeah, we need a half a million. We don't need a – so it's still a comatose job deal. It's over 9%.
Yeah, it is in a coma. There's no question.
Federal standards, and that's based. And let's put it this way: Washington is where all the jobs are. Government is expanding by the day. So if you need a job, move to D.C. and you got it.
Well, again,
are in the hole. Seriously, Detroit, it's around 25-30%. There are a lot of other cities in this country that are hovers around 13%, 14%, 15%. You know that.
Right here in our own state of California, Fresno and areas in the Central Valley. Yeah, there's no question about it. But back to your comment about the government jobs. Certainly the federal government has bloated itself over the last 2 years. However, there was a shedding of jobs in the governments, mostly at the state level, Malcolm.
Right.
But there was 39,000 jobs were shed by the U.S. government.
And it's because the states have to balance their budget.
That's right.
and the states don't have a choice. In fact, the federal government are the only cats who don't have to balance their budget. Bill, you have to balance it at home. You have to balance it at the radio station, the folks that run it. You have to balance it in your business. The Boy Scouts have to balance the budget, for crying out loud. The only ones that don't have to is the United States government.
Well, we had Senator Mike Lee on the show yesterday. He was talking about the balanced budget amendment. So I'm going to just go out on a limb here. Are you in favor of a balanced budget amendment?
Absolutely.
All right. So how do we implement that, though? Because here, if we look at California, we have a balanced budget amendment in our Constitution, and yet we are the most dysfunctional state in the United States. I mean, yes, we try to balance that budget, but it takes us 18 months to pass a 12-month budget. You know, it's just, it's forever.
California is a whole nother experiment, brother. And the problem with California, I mean, Florida has its own issues, and Texas, a lot, all the big states, New York, they're hurting, you know. But California is at the top of that list, no question about it. While it's a beautiful state and there are great people, government is highly dysfunctional out there.
Yes, we are.
Too much government, it's got to be cut back, and you can't run the kind of deficits that they're running in California.
No.
How about we cut out these subsidies across the board? No more subsidies. I don't agree with the Republicans on giving these big fat oil companies that are making hundreds of billions of dollars of American money, Bill, any money for anything.
All right.
I agree with giving it to the farming industry, the aviation industry. America doesn't have the money to give subsidies. So what I would do, talk about brink thinking, I would do some serious cutbacks to subsidies. What I'd like to see, Bill, is some sort of an incentive for the small business guy and gal.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Small business is the backbone of what goes on here in Ventura County.
Of the hiring they do in this country.
All right. However,
right now, you want to see why there's no job growth? That's why. People are scared. They're hanging on to their cash. And they're scared to move and grow and jump forward. That's the problem.
Well, talk to me about that fear, because that fear doesn't necessarily mean because they're not getting any subsidies. There's some fundamental fears that small business people are facing today.
Right.
So just enumerate a couple of them that are at the top of your mind that small business people have to be aware of.
This last episode of Washington, which really was like a reality show if you watched everything that happened with the deficit program, it not only scared the world and countries that were scared of what was going on in America, we've aired our dirty laundry now, folks. We have completely aired our dirty laundry. If you didn't know what a debt ceiling was before the last couple of weeks, you certainly know now. You see?
Yeah.
No matter where you are, we have been so heavily promoted and advertised around the world as a dysfunctional government at this point, it's going to be hard to get any respect moving forward. You see how Vladimir Putin came out and talked about us? Did you see that?
Yes, I did. But go ahead, for my listeners who may not know that, Vladimir Putin, who is the president, and actually he's not the president, he's the prime minister of Russia, came out, and tell them what they said.
Well, I mean, he came right out and called us that we were leeching off the world. I mean, I know a lot of you are going to get upset with this statement. He called us a parasite, and that we were leeching off the rest of the world. Now, some of that ticks us off as Americans, because, you know, Bill, a lot of us know that America has been policing the world for decades. When anybody has an itch or a problem, they call America. And we spend our money. You know, you can say what you want about Donald Trump, but when he was running, I loved his attitude about, you know what? You want us to send an aircraft carrier out there? Sure. You want us to send what? Oh, you need 25 of those helicopters? Yeah, okay, great. Send the gas money. You don't want to send the money? We ain't send it. You know what? That's what it's come down to, Bill, don't you think?
Well, it has. And I find it ironic that Vladimir Putin, who is the prime minister of Russia, was saying all of that because he is one of the greatest enslavers of people. He was the one who led the revolt into Afghanistan when the Russians tried to suppress that. So it was ironic that the pot was calling the kettle black in that particular case.
Well, he definitely is the pot. There's no question.
No doubt.
You know, he really is a despicable character.
Yes.
And he continues to show his colors more and more. I think where your biggest threats are going to be, the threats to this country ahead of time, Bill, moving forward, it's not just China. India, Brazil, these countries are growing fast and furiously. And they are investing in their infrastructure. They are investing in their people and in their countries. And guess what America is investing in?
Right now, debt.
That's right, brother.
Yeah, it is.
We're invested in debt. We're invested in policing the world. This is the big, I want everybody to hear this. This is the biggest problem we have right now, Bill. That's the challenge we have. That's where we're going to lose the edge. That's where this country is going to have some real that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, and we're going to have to leave it there, Malcolm. If people are interested in what you have to say, if they like your reasoning, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go?
Every week, MalcolmOutloud.tv. You can catch us anywhere in the world. Syndicated program there. You'll catch us Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6 p.m. EST, on demand as well there. And again, I'm on radio every day throughout the country. You'll catch us and trying to bring some common sense to the folks.
Malcolm, it is a delight. Thank you so much for being our special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.